Okay, so first of all, welcome to the Olam. I guess we would say back to the Sunday morning Shia, but we've just moved it to Motzei Shabbos Shia. So I guess as we're getting ready to change the clock tonight, so we all anticipate a little extra hour of sleep. Now, Baruch Hashem, we anticipate an extra hour of learning. So Baruch Hashem, 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 Gemara says that night was only created for the purpose of extra learning. So I guess this should set the stage for the long Motzei Shabbos that are upon us. We chop a little extra learning. So we're about to begin a new malacha. It's hard to say a new malacha because by the time we finish discussing this malacha, we may realize that this malacha is a tremendously connected to the previous malacha. And that is a malacha of mochek, a malacha of erasing. So of course, whenever we discuss the malacha of mochek, it's hard to discuss it without referencing back to the malacha of kosev. We spent the last 6 weeks or so talking about the details of kosev. And mochek seems to be really almost the undoing of the malacha of kosev. And that's what we're going to get the ball rolling for us tonight as to how to understand the relationship between these two malachas. So on the one hand, they're definitely counted as two separate distinct malachas. And Mark explains that they were both done in the context of the work for the Mishkan. They are counted as two separate malachas, but there clearly is a relationship between the two of them. And the question is, what exactly is that relationship? So the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, on the Ayin Gimel, where it lists off the 39 malachas, lists off as part of the malacha of mochek amanas lichtov, that the malacha is generally practiced when it's being done amanas. And that already raises the question, how much is that amanas lichtov critical to the mochek per se? So the Rush discusses this question. We address the following shaila concerning mochek. We know that when it comes to malachas kosev, there's a shear. The shear is based on seals, it's two letters. If a person writes one letter on Shabbos, so he's not chaya for that. I didn't say that's mutter, it's still chatzi shear. There's a question whether chatzi shear is also been a Torah, also been a Rabban in terms of Bukh Shabbos. So there's no question you're not allowed to write one letter on Shabbos, but technically in order to be chaya, if you're not chayef until you're kosev based osios. But when it comes to mochek, so also we find that similar shear, mochek abanas nichtov based osios. So the Rosh raises the following question, what would the din be if a mochek something that's not an os altogether? What if I have a big blob of ink that fell on my parchment and I'm a sofer, I'm trying to write a sefer Torah, I'm trying to write brachos, trying to write a beis and a reish. So before I got started, I was a little bit nervous. I ended up spilling some of the ink in the cloth. So I want to simply erase that ink in order to get started. Is that called an act the mochek altogether? So the Rush says you can answer that one of two ways. You could say that, well, I'm not being mochek osios. So just as the malacha is to be kosev osios, the malacha is to be mochek osios. So if I'm simply mochek a blob of ink, it's not the terusa malacha. Well, maybe I should say no. Maybe I should say that mochek is really goal-oriented. What I'm erasing is not really so important. What really matters is the amanas part. My goal is to erase, I'm sorry, the goal is to be able to subsequently write two letters. One could argue that even though what I'm erasing now is not halachically a letter, but I am being machshir, I am being misaken, I am creating the possibility down the line to write two osios, and that's really what the malacha is all about. So the Rush really concretizes for us the first question in terms of understanding the relationship between mochek and kosev. How much of a role do osios, the letters, the ksav, play a role in terms of malacha's mochek? So the first possibility is, it's critical. The same way you're not chayef for kosev unless you write two osios, so too you're not chayef for mochek unless you erase for the osios that can now be rewritten as two osios. Or maybe I say no, that if the whole malacha of mochek is not al-shem the mechik, the malacha is al-shem the mechik sab, so as long as what I'm doing will facilitate my writing letters, I could technically be chayef for that. So the Rush is an interesting riot to the second sad. The Rush says that mochek amanas lichtov always means that the letters that are here are not the letters that I want. It means I made a mistake. I was writing, I was trying to write, Baruch, and I made a mistake. I wrote two other letters. So I'm erasing what I didn't want in order to write. So the Rush says those two letters that I didn't want, like a blob of ink, they're not really osios because in my mind they're not osios. In my mind they're worthless. I wanted there to be a beis and a reish. I wanted there to be a gimel and a vav. So the two letters that I wrote by mistake that I'm trying to now rectify are like tishtadio. It's like it's just a blob of ink. And I'm still chayef for that. So says the Rush, what's the difference if you erase something that looks like letters, but they're not really wanted letters, or if you just erase a blob of ink? At the end of the day, the whole goal is to be machshir the ksiva. And machshir the ksiva is what the malacha is all about. But even if we go down that route of Mocheg and Kosev being related, there's still a further question that has to be ironed out in terms of the essence of the relationship between Mocheg and Kosev. When the Mishnah describes Melechus Mocheg, so it describes it as a Mocheg Amanas Lichtov. That's critical. That I'm erasing on the condition to rewrite. So there's a major machlokes in the poskim. How do you understand Pshat and that halacha? Why is it that it's so critical that it has to be Amanas Lichtov? Why does that condition play such a major role in terms of defining Melechus Mocheg? So you can understand that in one of two ways. Either you can understand that it's not that Amanas Lichtov is so important. The Malacha is the Mechika. That's the real name of the Malacha. We have a rule in Rosh Shabbos called Mekalkel Peturim. Whenever you do things that are destructive in nature, you're not going to be Chayav in Shabbos. If I stop demolish a building, not to rebuild the building, so that's not going to be Chayav. If I rip something and I'm not interested in resewing it, so I'm not going to be Chayav. Mishnah says called Mekalkel Peturim. So mocheg is usually an act of kilkul. Mocheg is usually a very destructive thing. So the reason why the Mishnah says it has to be Amanas Lichtov is because if it's not Amanas Lichtov, how are you ever get it defend it being something positive? So Amanas Lichtov is not an absolute condition. Amanas Lichtov is simply a barometer, simply a way of measuring are you involved in a positive act or in a destructive, in a negative act. In theory, what if I could do an act of mechika in a positive manner? It's not literally Amanas Lichtov, but it's very, very, very positive. Then you would be chayav. Amanas Lichtov is not an end all. Amanas Lichtov is simply a way of determining is it positive or negative. That's what the Prima Gadim raises the Shaila. Oh, there didn't be in the following case. Let's say I lent you $100 and you wrote me an IOU and then you pay me back the money, so I give you the IOU back. So you want to get rid of that IOU. You want to destroy that IOU. That's no question. So you go ahead and you erase what it says that Reuven owes you $100. You want that erased, no matter what. So says the people got them, even if you're not necessarily clear in rewriting on that piece of paper, that's the tikkun, that's a positive thing. To stop to go to a book and start erasing letters of a sefer, that's not so positive. So if you plan on rewriting it, that's called positive. If you're not planning on rewriting, that's called negative. But to erase an IOU is a positive act, it's objectively a positive act. And therefore, the only reason why you need Amanas Lichtov is just to ensure that you're doing it in a positive manner. So then I know for a fact this is positive. But maybe we're wrong. Maybe that's not the nature of the din of Amanas Lichtov. Maybe Amanas Lichtov is not just a measure, is a barometer to measure a positive versus negative. Maybe Amanas Lichtov is goof a part of the definition of the Malacha. That the Malacha was practiced in the Mishkan, Amanas Lichtov. The Gemara explains that when they would line up the crush and they would line up the boards in the Mishkan, so they would put numbers on them to remember which boards were next to the others. Like sukkah, so when they build a sukkah, so they can't remember what piece goes next to the other. Some sukkahs it doesn't make a lot of a difference, but some sukkahs it matters. So they want to make sure they don't make a mess the next year. So have a little number system to know which keresh, which board of the sukkah goes next to the other. So when one of the early years when we built that sukkah before we were even in Bergenfield, so one of the early years when we built the sukkah, so I remember we built all sukkah and then we realized that the sukkah was built upside down. It was totally, there was nothing wrong with it. You could sit in an upside down sukkah. It's not a sukkah, it's not a falos. You could sit in an upside down sukkah. It's just, it was mamish totally, every board was upside down. We have to put arrows to tell you which direction is up. How did we realize it was, it doesn't make a difference. How did we realize it was upside down? Because my wife commented that all the Velcro was on the bottom. She said, how come you didn't realize that all the Velcro from last year was on the bottom of the sukkah? Since when do you hang decorations by your feet? And we realized, oh, she's right. We're not fixing the sukkah was upside down. So in the Mishkan, so they had to make sure that the Kerushim were lined up properly, so they would write the numbers. Every once in a while, when they would write the numbers, they'd make a mistake. So they had to re-erase, they had to rewrite, etc. So it's a very strange thing. They couldn't figure out in the Mishkan how to do it carefully. That was the first time, a very strange thing. So the Gemara says there was Mochek, there was Kosev, back and forth and back and forth. One could argue that the Mochek has to mimic the Mishkan, and therefore Amanas Lichtov is an absolute condition. So it's not just time to measure positivity, but it's in order to maintain the Tzuras HaMalacha, it requires Amanas Lichtov. If that's the case, so then being Mochek, even for other positive, very, very good, healthy reasons, such as erasing your IOU, it's not going to make a difference. It's still, that would not be a malacha deraisa. So many of you may remember, we spoke about this question about whether a condition mentioned in the Mishnah of Amanas is an absolute, or whether it's just a way of measuring a positive versus destructive manner. This is not new to the malacha of Mocheg. We spoke about this way, way back in the malacha of Kereya. There's a big machlekes in Rishayim. If you rip something, some other positive purpose, but not amanas lichvor, you're not interested in reselling it. So some of the Rishayim say, can't be deraisa. There's no deraisa unless you're doing it for the purpose of reselling it. That's not a deraisa. Another Rishayim say, what do you mean? If you're doing it for a positive purpose, that's also chayav. That was a machlekes. You remember back in the beginning of Sefes Makos, the sugya pasech based at tzavar. The person has a big sheet. He wants to make like a hole for his head to go in to wear it, like Abrakanfas, like Tal Skatan. So he wants to take the scissor and cut a hole in. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that in Shabbos. That's an issur deraisa in Shabbos. So the Rambam writes that the pasuk in the Rambam is that's an issur deraisa mishum kereya. So Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the issur deraisa is makabe patish because you're fixing the sheet, you're creating a garment. But the Rashi leaves out the kereya. Why does Rashi leave out kereya? So the Ritva writes, but that's Rashi, because Rashi held that it's not enough split for. Since you're not planning on reselling it, even though it's very positive what you're doing, you're creating yourself an abrakanfas, it doesn't matter the Ritva says, but that's Rashi, then what is the chaya for kireya? It has to be literally amanas lit for. And according to that Ritva, the Rambam would disagree. The Rambam who says that you are chaya for kireya would obviously hold that amanas lit for is not an absolute. So again, that same idea that we had when it came back to the Malacha of Kareya, repeats itself with Malacha of Mochik as well. So this is all part of the same general question, what is the relationship between Mochik and Kaysev? So the Rush raised the first question, is it necessary to erase letters? Or even if you erase blobs of ink, that could also be Chayev, because the whole goal of the Malacha is to rewrite. So what's the difference? What you erased, what only matters is what you're going to ultimately write. And the second question that relates to the Mochik and Kaysev is it absolutely critical to have Amanas V'lichtov Mamesh, Pshutuk and Mashmo, or any positive activity of mechika would also be chayav. There are a couple of common shailas that come up concerning the malacha of mechik. One of the most famous shailas is the issue of opening and closing books which have letters printed on the leaves of the book, on the pages of the book. So the library books, people still read library books. Well, you go to the white library, so you take out a book, it'll say that Mendel Gottesman Library or something. So now you want to open and close that page of that book. The question is that a problem or not? What should the problem be? So the Ramah discusses this. It's interesting, it's not a Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, it's a Tshuva Ramah. For some reason, they didn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah and Tshuva discusses the Shaila. You open and close books which have letters printed onto the pages. So someone wanted to ask her it. They thought that it was a problem of mochik and kosev. Every time you open up the pages, so that's mochik. Every time you close the pages, so you kosev. So you open and close. You're writing and erasing, writing and erasing. So they thought that maybe that should be a problem. So the Ramah didn't think that was a problem of mochik or kosev for the following reason. The Ramah gives a mashal. Right? To the tshuva that you're allowed to open a door on Shabbos. You open a door on Shabbos. Isn't that bina? Isn't that soiser? Everyone, the door is closed, so it's like you have a wall. Now I open up the door, now I have a hole. I close the door, now I have a wall. I have a hole. So it's bina soiser all the time. So why isn't that a problem? So the Ramah writes that no, that's not called bina and soiser because that's called derech tashmishai. That's not called the building. That's called using. You build the doors, and you come with a hammer and wood and a board, and you build a door frame into the ground. That's called building a door. When you're opening and closing the door, so you're not building the door; you're just simply using the door. That, by definition, is not called malacha. That's called derech tashmish shebikach. So that's what the Ramah wants to give a marshal. He says when you open and close a book, so that's not called writing. Writing is when you first wrote those letters on the side of the page, that would be a writing. Or if you take an eraser and erase those letters to rewrite other letters, that would be called meichik. Here, you're using the book, you're not writing the letters, not erasing the letters. You're using the book, anything that's called derech tashmishai automatically is not considered to be a derech malacha, and that would be permissible. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Tshuva Saramah, and he says that not everyone agreed exactly. Everyone agrees you can open and close the door. I don't think anyone asked that on Shabbos. Not everyone agreed exactly to this mashal. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if he can avoid it, he should try the chetchila to avoid it. There are some people who like to avoid the shayla. They'll put like a bookmark tissue or something in the book from before Shabbos. And so maybe that's considered like almost like it's breaking up the letters. Maybe that's not considered to be like you're Ramesh making or breaking the letters on Shabbos because the letters are already not fully connected. Maybe. So whatever it is. There are more mikra than it was mutra. And not everyone agrees. So Mishnah Berurah recommends a chetchila not to do it. One of the most famous shaylas that we have of Moshe is another Ramah, and this is a Ramah that is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Ramah discusses the famous shayla of cutting through letters. The original context that the Ramah was talking about, I don't think the Ramah could have dreamt that there would be such thing called packages of food with letters on them that was already much later in history. But the Ramah was talking about the birthday cakes, the cakes which have letters on them. So the Ramah, the whole discussion, are you permitted to cut through the letters on Shabbos? So the Ramah writes that you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't take a knife and cut through the letters. There's a shayla chashash of Moichek. So the Nei Rabbi Yehuda has a whole discussion about this Ramah, that he's not really sure that this Ramah is correct, that this sheet of the Ramah may be a little bit of an excess, unnecessary chumrah, based on the following. We spoke about this Nei Rabbi Yehuda in the past, came up by other malachas, and Nei Rabbi Yehuda makes the following judgment. If you think about it, this person is not really intending on cutting through letters. His goal in life right now is not to erase letters on a birthday cake. His goal is simply to cut himself a piece of cake. So if his goal is to do A, and now a malacha may be happening, that should fall into the category of what's called a davar she'eino miskaven. So when we pass in halacha like the people of Rabbi Shimon, davar she'eino miskaven is mutar in Shabbos. I'm allowed to drag a chair in the backyard, even though there's a chance that a home may be made. That's okay. Davar she'eino miskaven, halachat chilat, machlekes hatanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and we pass in the Farish and Gemara, the Davar she'eino miskaven is mutar halachat chilat. So lechora, is a classic davar she'eino miskaven. My intent is not to erase the letters. My intent is to cut the cake. The only problem is the Gemara says that this is what's called a psigration. The Gemara in Shabbos in a few places says that even the Rabbi Shimon says that davar she'eino miskaven is mutar halachat chilat, made Rabbi Shimon psigration. The Rabbi Shimon agrees that when it's not that there's a chance that a malach is going to happen, but there's absolute certainty. The famous example the Gemara gives is psikreshu. What does psikreshu mean? So many of the Rishonim explain, it means that you're going to cut off the head of a chicken. So a guy is going to say, I don't really want to kill the chicken. I just want to play with the head of something. I don't really want the chicken to die. The Gemara says, what do you mean? It's not psikreshu. Everybody knows you cut off the head of the chicken, of course the chicken's going to die. You can't hide behind the Rishonim's cabin. The Rishonim's cabin means I can drag a chair in the backyard. There's a 50-50 chance that a hole may happen. Let's say I'm dragging a very, very, very heavy piece of furniture that I know for certain holes going to happen. But I'm shy. Of course, it's going to make a chavir. It's going to make a hole in the ground. So that's no longer the Shimon's Kavan. That's already a psigration. So if that's the case, so we're back in trouble in terms of cutting the letters. Because when I want to cut the letters of the cake, I can't hide behind the Shimon's Kavan. This is considered to be psigration. So that's the bad news. The good news is that this is what we probably call a psigration del nichale. The Gemara Shabbos Kuf Gimel says that when does Rabbi Shimon say that doing things derech psikreisha or nisa deraisa? That's only if it's psikreisha denichale. If I really want that result to happen, but if I'm not particularly interested, I really couldn't care less one way or the other. So that's called the psikreisha delo nichale. Even though the more correct term should really be del ichbasle, but we assume that's all the same thing. As long as I'm not actively, I don't possibly want it to happen. That's psikreisha delo nichale. The Gemara says the Farish and Shabbos, that's not a Nisadir Aysa. Psikreisha L'Nichalei cannot possibly be a Nisadir Aysa. So whether or not that means it's Mutl Chadchila, we spoke about this many times as a Machloikis HaRishayim between Taisus and the Aruch. The Aruch, one of the early from Bir the Ga'inim, so they say for Aruch, the opinion was that a Psikreisha L'Nichalei is Tachem Mutl Chadchila. That even though you know for a fact that the Malach is going to happen, if you don't really care about the Malach happening, there's nothing to worry about. L'Chadchila, by the Aysa, everything's Het Tegomah. And Taisus disagrees. As it says that a psigreisha l'nichle is not a mutl l'chachila, but it's not a siddur aysa, but it's not mutl l'chachila. It remains in a siddur rabbanim. So we try not to follow the aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's really proper not to follow the view of the aruch. We try to. I forgot to put it on. I forgot to put it on my plate. It's one of those. Maybe the middle one. Maybe top one. Fixing the Wi-Fi. Sorry. Okay. My bad. It went away for Shabbos and never came out after Shabbos. Okay. Just stick one in there. I'll do it. I'll take it.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. Okay, we hope it'll be better. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Again, so we generally follow the view, not of the Aruch. We try to be chayshish for the Shitas Atosis, that a davar shenim is, that a gracious nichle really shouldn't be done. Really, mid the rabbanon, it really shouldn't be done. Nevertheless, the Yehuda puts together a few pieces of information, and these are things we spoke about a little bit in the past. It says as follows: what if it's a psigration lo nichale, but the isser involved is at worst only an isser to begin with? It means even if I would do it mamish bekavana gemura, straightforward, it still wouldn't be an isser deraisa. I'm only dealing with the rabbanon anyway. That's a further machlek isser rishon. Taisa quotes two opinions about that. Even we who don't accept the Aruch, we try to be chayshish. I'm the gracious, the lonichalei is not to do them. Would we have to be chayshish even on Isurim Derabbanan not to do them? So that's not so clear. Then let's go one step further. What if it's a psigration lonichalei? I have to keep track of the math. It's a psigration lonichalei on a double Derabbanan. It means it's something that's also a Derabbanan once. But then there's another reason why it's only Derabbanan. It's twice removed from being a Deraisa. This is a concept that we have sometimes in Shabbos, other areas of Halacha, when you start to collect Derabbanans. So the more Derabbanan becomes, the less and less serious an issue it becomes. It's like L'mashal and Mitzvahs, that Tosfos quotes an opinion that in order for me to be Motzi in a Mitzvah, so we have to be on the same level of Chiyuv. So Tosfos raises the shadow, what would it be if I'm Chayav Derabbanan, you're Chayav Derabbanan? So as long as we're both Chayav Derabbanan, it's okay. But what if my chiyuv derabbanan is twice removed? It means there are two reasons why I'm only midrabbanan in this mitzvah, and you have only one reason why you want to midrabbanan. Let's say the marshal, Taisus raises the question, can a katan read the Megillah for a gadol? So on the one hand, the katan is also chayv a mitzvah midrabbanan, al tchinuch, and Megillah is only a derabbanan. So Taisus quotes one opinion that says, no, that the katan reading of the Megillah is a double derabbanan, it's a trey derabbanan. It's two removed from their eyes. Number one, and number two, his chiyuv of chinuch is on a midrabbanan. Moshein came the gadol, he's only derabbanan once because Kriyas HaMegillah is derabbanan, but his chiyuv and mitzvahs in general is a deraisa chiyuv. So it comes out that even though everyone's derabbanan, we're all on the same team, we're all derabbanan, levels of derabbanan make a difference in halacha. Let's say, Lamashal, you find in Hilchos Shabbos that if you ask a goy to do something that's only a nisa derabbanan, the mokom mitzvah is going to be mutter. We ask a non-Jew to do something that's an issa deraisa, that's the problem. That's also only a derabbanan. Amir Yaakov is also a derabbanan. So you see the Chazal treated derabbanans. The more, the further away we are from the realm of deraisas, the less serious of a problem we have in our life. So the same is true when it comes to the psigrations. So when you have a psigration, lo nichalei on a deraisa, we pass, that's a problem. But you have a psikreishlo nichle and a derabbanan, one derabbanan. So it's machangis de shulchan aruch and ramah in uchas tzeid, whether that's a problem or not. But if you have a psikreishlo nichle and a double derabbanan, so the Yehuda points out that the ramah himself is making on that shadow in other places. So the Yehuda now goes through the math and he says, cutting the letters of the cake, let's count up the derabbanans here. What are we dealing with? Just how bad a problem do we have? So says the Yehuda, is this a mochev deraisa? I'm taking a knife and I'm cutting through the H of happy birthday. Can anybody in their right mind say that's a deraisa? So the Nedvita says, it's so derabbanan for so many different reasons. Number one, it's not amanas lichtav. Unless the guy's an absolute and complete meshugana that he's planning on reconnecting the letters of the cake afterwards. So most people, when you cut through the H, it's over. Happy birthday. It's not finished. Come on, the birthday's over. So you're not going to resell the cake back then. You're not going to rewrite the cake letters again. So for sure, it's a derabbanan. It can't possibly be a deraisa. That's number one. Number two, this is meichik. What tools do you usually use to be meichik? Either you get yourself an eraser, or you get yourself a razor blade on a chitter or something. Most people don't do an act of mechika using a cake knife. So when you use a cake knife to erase a letter, that's kliyachayad. So doing something kliyachayad, that goof is only a derabbanan. Even if you would do a malacha that itself would be malacha deraisa, but if you chose to do it, that would only be a derabbanan. So comes the Rebbe and says, now we have two derabbanans on our team. So number one, it's derabbanan because it's not amanas lichta. Number two, it's derabbanan because it's not the normal fashion. So again, I didn't say it's mutter to do two derabbanan. Some people have this attitude, if you, as long as you can pile up enough derabbanan, it becomes mutter. No, not necessarily. You have to analyze each and every case. So here, the halacha seems to be that if you have an action that's a derabbanan twice removed, And now you're doing it in a manner of obsecration lo nichlei. So then you have almost like three drabbanim. It's obsecration lo nichlei, which itself is only drabbanim. It's a keliachian. It's a shlomen asnachta. So many drabbanim. One piled up on the other. It translates to become mutter. So the Judas says that he thinks that in ikem ikradin, it really should be mutter to cut through the letters. He doesn't really think it should be a problem. But Lamaisa said the Ramah said it, so the Rebbe is not saying you should actively violate and go against the Ramah, but the Rebbe says that if you see somebody doing it, it's not a Chil Shabbos Diraisa. It's not such a terrible thing. The person to cut the list. I remember once we lived in the Heights, somebody came knocking on the door, an emergency, always a big emergency in front of the night. They cut through the letters on the birthday cake. They want to know, Pidiyevit can eat the cake. Because the halacha is, if you do malacha on something, so then there's a knas, there's a potential penalty, and you're not supposed to be enjoy that food for Yitl Shabbos. Over. Afterwards, the pen and shaggy makes it a whole sugya. And those are the knas, what's called Maisa Shabbos. So you want to know, there's a bit of Maisa Shabbos applied to cutting the letters of the cake. So the Magen Avram, that's a klal of Shabbos, that whenever there's a machlekes, whether you're allowed to do something like chatchila, so there's no knas for the other. If your mamish took a raw piece of chicken, you cooked it, that's malach of the rice, then there's a knas. If you did something that's totally on a machlekes and mishayin, machlekes, a place, yes, and then the b'diavad, you could rely on the mekilim. So here I said, there's not even like a machlekes. I mean, here, we don't really understand this Ramah. Mikra did the whole thing, it should be mutter. So many chumras. I'm not advocating to cut through the cake, but to say b'diavad that the cake is also, I thought that was quite a stretch. So b'diavad. I told him if they're willing to bring me a piece of cake up, I'm more than willing to be makel then, and I think that Mikra didn't suffer. Back to that story. So within the world of the Ramah, that we try, at least the Chetchila, we don't really understand why, but we try the Chetchila not to cut through the cake, even though you have so many tzadim lahakel. This, of course, becomes relevant for other things as well. It's not just letters and cakes, it's letters and packages. This is part of a whole another dimension of the issues of opening packages. So opening packages and Shabbos, all kind of issues of boiner, soiser, makbapapdish. These are things, sugis that we still have to get to over the next couple of weeks and months. But one of the almost like tangential issues in terms of opening packages, even if you can get around some of the main issues, there's very often that issue of ripping through letters. So depending on what you think about the ripping through letters, if you're machmir for this Ramah, so then you would be very, very careful. You have to start to finagle how you open every single package, try not to rip through a letter. And you shouldn't rip through designs, you shouldn't rip through pictures either, because the Rambam writes that if you draw a picture, that's like writing, that's malach of kesef, and if you erase a picture, that's like malach of meichik. So even if you can finagle your way around the letters, if you cut right through a picture of something on the package, that could pose the same problem. So other poskim are very lenient on this. Rav Avadia Yosef is very making on this, because the Sfarim in general are making on this, because the Shulchan Aruch holds the segregation of nichlei even on a single drabbanan of the mutter. So the Sfarim don't buy into this whole Ramah's humras of the letters, and the three drabbanans, and the three drabbanans, everything, the whole parsha the Sfarim make on. So that's Rav Avadia's make on, right? You can putting aside the other issues of the packages, but in terms of the letters, that would be the lesser of the problem. But again, for Ashkenazim, we should try the chetchila to avoid the ripping through letters and pictures under whatever they're able to try to avoid. So there is a shaila that the later post can discuss within the view of the Ramah. Again, the chumrah of the Ramah, what would the din be? Let's say if a person doesn't rip through any given letter, but he rips through the letters of a word. So let's say it says happy on the cake. So he maneuvers very, very well to cut between the H and the A. He's not going to cut right through the H. That's a meichik. He wants to rip between the H and the A. Is that considered to be meichik or not? So that opens up a question. How do you define meichik? Is meichik only an ICS? What about meichik on a word? So here, the H is intact and the A is intact, but happens, that's what happens. So the H and the A have been separated from one another. So I basically was meichik or, and I destroyed a word. So is that called meichik? Is the sheer of meichik, is that gdar malach, is a meichik? Was it said in Isis, or was it said even the mechika of a shame of a word could also constitute an act of mechika? So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchosa as discussing the Shaila, and Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, I don't know whether he wanted to be a raya, others wanted to be a raya, but within mechika is Hashem. There's an issue in the Torah to be mechik one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. The Sheva Shem HaShem HaChokim, you're not allowed to erase. Torah says, you have to destroy all the names of the Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says, L'sasu kem Hashem l'keichem. So the Torah explains that that comes to teach us that you're not allowed to destroy the Shem Hashem. If you're mechik is Hashem, so that's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's because of the Issa D'Oraisa, mechik is Hashem, that's why we have the whole sugyas. So in the Gemara about Geniza, about when you have an old the Torah, until an omezuzah, so you're not supposed to throw into the garbage because that's like mutal b'bizayim. So that's like an extension of the yisrael mechik's Hashem. The same way you're not allowed to be mechik the shame mamash b'yadayim. You're not allowed to leave the shame in a place that's going to be an experience the derech b'zayim. You have to wrap it up and put it in a very covered way and put it in the derech geniza. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Megillah, that all the tashmisha kedusha, anything that has a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name on it, or things that are part of having a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a pair of tefillin, so the batim, the ritzuas, so they're all extensions of the parashiyas. So all of those kinds of things have to be put into shemas, because you're not allowed to be moichik the shem, you're not allowed to expose the shem, Hashem, to an embarrassing situation. The same is true when it comes to Divrei Torah. The Rishonim say that since Divrei Torah also an extension of Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, Kishem Hashem Ekra, the Ramban writes in the Gemara Chumash that the whole of Divrei Torah are a shemas for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if you have any real Divrei Torah, so then you're not supposed to put that also into a degrading kind of a situation. You're not supposed to stomp through into a dirty garbage or everything else. It has to be put into Geniza. Well, that becomes, of course, a very loaded question. What's included in that? Every single, artlach that somebody wrote on an internet sheet printed out, something's all of a sudden necessarily Divrei Torah. I don't have to figure out what is considered to be Divrei Torah for these purposes or not. But the whole those dinim of covenant of Kodesh Baruch Hu's name of covenant Divrei Torah is all an extension of the dinim of Mechikas Hashem. So there's a dinim when it comes to Mechikas Hashem. Let's say a person has the Shem Yikivavke, okay? And he takes scissors and he cuts between the letters. Now it doesn't say Yikivavke anymore. On the other hand, he didn't touch any of the letters. So that's an Issa. You're not allowed to do that. Shlomo Zalman said that just as you find that mechik is Hashem, that cutting between letters is called mechik, maybe the same should be true for Hilchos Shabbos, that if I cut the letters between the H and the A of happy birthday, that would also be a problem. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, he doesn't think it's the same. He says that when it comes to mechik is Hashem, it's a chal Hashem, of Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, and therefore the destroying of that unit is what the issue mechik is Hashem is. Hashem came, the word happy is not a unit. The Torah is not the machshid word happy. The Torah recognizes the existence of letters. The malach of kesed, the malach of meichik wasn't set on words, it was set on letters. So if I have two letters, I'm not allowed to erase those letters. I'll erase the letters of an astech to beis isias. So here I didn't erase anything. I just cut between an H and an A. So I didn't touch the H, I didn't touch the A. The fact that I broke up a tzirf of a word, there's no halachic meaning, no halachic significance to the tzirf of those letters to form a word. That was the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it would be good if you make sure that when you have the letters, happy birthday, you shouldn't put them in script. You put it in script, and then the letters are always connected to one another. Put them in print, and you can cut in between the letters. Unless you want to argue that maybe script is also okay, because in script, the letters are really fundamentally separate from one another. It's just that that's the right script. You don't want to, the idea of not picking your pen off the, you don't want to waste an extra split second of picking your pen up, so at least one letter goes quickly into the next letter. But they really are separate, distinct letters. So maybe you can argue that it's still called separating between letters rather than destroying a letter per se. So I have to go back to third grade, you had to do a script, you have to go back to the lumdus, but the script is one big letter, or whether it's a bunch of little letters that are just combined by convenience and not having to take your pen off the paper. So lumdus shaila in terms of back to those days. Anyway, so bottom line is that those who follow the minhag of the Rambam, so one would not cut between letters l'chatchila, and those who want to rely on Shlomo Zalman, so since it's holed in anyway, so we're not really sure what the status of the still chumras in the first place. Definitely one is a right. Kedai of Shlomo Zalman, you rely on Shlomo Zalman for more serious things, so those who want to rely on Shlomo Zalman definitely have a right to rely on that. I'll share with you two humor stories about this pesach of Shlomo Zalman. When we lived in the Heights, I remember once went to Grunbaum's bakery to get a cake. So I asked the lady behind the counter if she could please write the happy birthday. But I told her, please don't write it in script, only write it in print. And she didn't know what I was talking about. She thought it was some kashrus issue. So she went to go bring the mashgiach from the back. That explained there's nothing to do with kashrus. The food calling was kosher, whether it's script or whether it's print. I said, there's a Hilchos Shabbos, a chumrah. So it didn't go over well. That was number one. Number two is the next story goes back to over 20 years ago. It was when, I remember Tova was a baby, she was 1 year old, and we haven't been there to Israel right around the time of her birthday. And one of my wife's aunts, cousins, was making made a birthday party for her in Shabbos. And they made this big cake that said, you know, Yom HaLeret Samech. And then we were about to sit and cut the cake. So they asked me, what do I think? I remember the law said, Malbim be America. I said, Mutar Asur, are you allowed to cut the cake or not? So this was in Geula, in the middle of the heart of Yerushalayim. So they asked me, Malbim be America. So I responded, Ani lo yodea Malbim be America, but Ani yodea Malbim be Haaretz. I said, I know what they say in Israel. I said, Rosh Hashanah, who's the Rav of Yerushalayim. Get ready, Niftar. I said, Rosh Hashanah was making, as long as you cut between the letters. So they were so excited. And I told them, Chiddush, that it went. The Chiddush went from Sherei Chesed to Washington Heights back to Geula. So it went 12,000 miles. That Chiddush, but I told him that Mikra didn't. I think that one can definitely rely on the Pesach of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So bottom line is, those who want to have the cakes and they want to cut through the cakes, so cut between the letters, Yei Shem Yilismach. Baruch Hashem, the bakeries have moved on now, and usually now they put it on a piece of chocolate or cookie or something, so you can avoid any shyness. Folks can say you're allowed to eat the cake, even though in the process of eating it you're breaking the letters. That's ready called derech achila. That's called derech moichik. So mikra din, that would be okay. But also say, let's say you have letters that are not really written onto the cake; they were just kind of ingrained into the cookie, like the biscuits, the osam biskvitim they used to serve. The tishes, those old kiryats, and if they see any old kiryats people here, that was like the favorite of the Friday night tishes in the Roshiva, ones that said Osem on the cracker. So the post we were making, you can almost break it in the middle also, because that's not a letter written on top of it. I mean, the cookie was baked in such a way that it's imprinted onto the cookie. That's going to be so. Shasel Chagodol, one has to be made. One can be made. Even Shlomo Shasel Chagodol, one can be made. Okay, good. All right, we'll stop for now. Hopefully, Hashem, next week we'll continue with Hashem's. Okay. Good night, everybody. Good Bach. Sorry about the confusion in the beginning.
For itself.
Thank you. You're welcome.